right, let's all get seated and let's get started in this review of the Old Testament. Go ahead and put the first slide up, if you would, Buzz, and we'll get started. Chronologically, you've seen this chart, at least in a slightly different form last week. If you put a time, put a date line over here on the extreme left side of the chart, 931, that's when Solomon dies. When Solomon dies, what happens? The kingdom is divided, and so you have listed on the screen there that northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. How many kings were there in the northern kingdom? How many? I didn't hear you. 19. How many of them were godly kings? Not a single one of them. How many kings in the southern kingdom? 19. How many of them were godly kings? Only 4 out of 38 kings that existed among the Jewish nation were godly kings. Now look at that northern kingdom, because it has other names. We call it generally by the name Israel, but it also has two other names, and that is Samaria, which was the capital city. Remember, when you come to the New Testament, there's an area geographically that's called Samaria, and that comes from the Old Testament, and it was called Samaria, and the chief tribe in that northern kingdom was Ephraim. Now then, below that, you've got the southern kingdom. That's where there were 4 good kings, and we call it Judah. Sometimes it's called Jerusalem. Sometimes it's called Zion. Those are the two kingdoms. Go ahead and put the next slide up, because now then, you see the year 722. We started at 931 B.C., 722 B.C. What happened in 722 B.C.? The end of the northern kingdom. What happened to that northern kingdom? It went into Assyrian bondage. Nineveh came over and it went into. Now then, you've got, that's an important timeline, 200 years or so after Solomon dies. For 200 years, God was patient with that northern kingdom, but he sent prophets to them. And so you have on the screen those prophets that came to the northern kingdom. Jonah went to Nineveh, but you've got Hosea and you've got Amos. And so those were 2 of the last 17 books of the Old Testament. You've got Jonah, you've got Hosea, and you've got Amos. In the southern kingdom, there were 2 prominent of the prophets of the last 17 books, and that is Isaiah and Micah. And so you've got those prominent prophets in the southern kingdom, 722 B.C. Look at the next slide, because the next slide shows that Assyrian captivity. And so that's the end of the northern kingdom. They were taken into Babylon, or taken into Assyrian captivity, but God allowed that southern kingdom to continue. Go ahead and show the next slide, because that's important. You see the year 606 B.C.? That's the end of Jerusalem. They're headed into Babylonian captivity. And we'll not look at that Babylonian captivity tonight. We'll be doing that a little bit later. But there were those individuals who prophesied during this time to the southern kingdom. There was Nahum. There was Zephaniah. There was Habakkuk. And there's Jeremiah. We're going to look at those 4 books tonight in a very, very brief way. We studied this several years ago, and this is primarily a review to try to stir us up and cause us to remember. Let's look at the book of Nahum. What do you know about Nahum? To what city, to what country did he go? To which ones did he prophesy? What nation? It's on the screen if you'll look at it. He prophesied to which nation? Anybody want to guess? Okay, go ahead and have a guess. All right. He went to Nineveh. Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. The northern kingdom has fallen. They are a tremendous threat to the southern kingdom. And so God sends one of his prophets over to Nineveh. And you see the P-R-I, that's to indicate that question is on the priest card. And so we've got K for king's card, and then we got P-R-O for the prophet card. And so here is the message of Nineveh. God sends a prophet, and his message is, the Lord will destroy wicked Nineveh. It's a very short book, but the minor prophets sometimes are really easy to understand. They just about mean what they said. And if you get the historical setting, here's a Jewish prophet that's gone to Nineveh. There was another prophet. David taught this last week, four chapters in the Bible. Maybe I taught it two studies ago. What other man went to Nineveh? Go preach to Nineveh. You remember who that was? That was Jonah. Chapter 1 of the book of Jonah. What does Jonah do? Jonah runs where? Away from God. Chapter 2 of Jonah, Jonah comes back to God. Chapter 3, he runs with God as he goes and preaches in Nineveh. And chapter 4, he gets ahead of God. God wanted the Ninevites to know, you, even though you're capturing God's chosen people, you're still accountable to God. And so there's Nahum that goes there, and there is Jonah that goes to that place. And so we've got all of those things that are transpiring. Don't have time to look at all of the things that are found in the book of Nahum, but you need to understand the overview, the big picture is God is dealing with the nation, and he's sending these prophets not just to the Jewish people, but primarily to the Jewish people, but they had a message for those Gentile nations. And when you looked at Isaiah, and David taught that just a few weeks ago, the first half of Isaiah is written primarily to Gentile nations. And the last half of Isaiah is written to the Jewish nation, where there are all of those messianic prophets. Look at the next prophet, and that is Zephaniah. Zephaniah prophesied to who? Is that hard? Can you read that? Zephaniah prophesied to Judah. Who's that? That's the southern kingdom. So God has a message from Zephaniah, and the theme of that book is, you know, that the Lord is bringing judgment, and that Lord is described as the day of the Lord is coming. You'd better get ready. Why? Because the northern kingdom is in the process of falling, and you're going to see that northern kingdom fall. And if you do not repent, you're going to come under the judgment of God. God's on a throne. Book of Daniel says the Most High rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom to whomsoever he will. And Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of the world, accountable to God. And here are all of the kings of Assyria. The Lord says in Isaiah chapter 10 to that northern kingdom, you don't even know that I'm using you. You're an evil man, and I'm using an evil man. And when we get to the book of Jeremiah tonight, the Lord says to Nebuchadnezzar, who brings about the captivity, you are my servant. Not that you're a believer in me. You're an evil man, and I'm going to use you to accomplish my purpose. And my purpose is, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Can you finish up this summation of the Old Testament, Hebrews chapter 1, that every transgression and disobedience, the first part of that verse says, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received, can you finish the rest of that? The just recompense of reward. That's what we're studying. Northern kingdom, 19 ungodly kings. God finally says, that's it. I'm going to destroy that kingdom, and it will not exist. I'm going to wipe it out. And so that's exactly what he did. And so the Lord brought that about. What about the southern kingdom? Well, they weren't much better. How many righteous kings did the southern kingdom have? 4. And so we're right at the time whenever that southern kingdom is about to head into captivity. And so here is the prophet of God. Here's Zephaniah, and he says, you need to understand that the day of the Lord is at hand. Have you ever thought about how that has application to our lives? In reality, if you do not live until the day of the coming of the Lord, when is the day in your life in which you will come under the judgment of God? There's your heart. And right there, destiny is sealed. death comes. And that is not the coming of the Lord. There is that second coming when the Lord will come back and the heavens being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. There is that coming of the day of the Lord. But in the Old Testament, this expression of the coming of the Lord has to do with coming in physical judgment. Over 20 times in the Old Testament, the expression the day of the Lord is coming, the day of the Lord is coming, and it's always a judgment against the nations. No wonder that same terminology is used in reference to the end of time. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. What is the theme of the book of Zephaniah? The Lord is coming. You'd better straighten up your life. And it is so important that you get ready to straighten up your life. What about Habakkuk? What do you know about Habakkuk? Well, we'll look a little bit in more detail at the book of Habakkuk because there are some things that we need to go ahead and show the next slide. Look at what happens in relationship to Habakkuk, because there is that prophecy in Habakkuk. Wonder, would you like to guess who Habakkuk prophesies to? Well, it's obvious. It's there on the screen. He prophesies to Judah. Those two other names for Judah: Jerusalem and Zion. And so sometimes you'll read in the prophets, the Lord will talk about Jerusalem. Sometimes he'll talk about Zion. And so we get to the book of Habakkuk, and he prophesies to Judah, and there is a description in Habakkuk of God's eyes. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13 says, God, why are you allowing there to be so much evil in this world? He says, your eyes are too pure to see evil and not do something about it. And that's what the book of Habakkuk is all about. Habakkuk wants God to bring judgment because of all the evil that there is there. But he says to God, and he tries to help God, God, go ahead and do it. But he says, you are of eyes too pure. To look at these things. And then there are some key verses. The Lord is in His holy temple. We sing it. The rest of that verse, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Would to God that our world would understand the Most High sits on His throne, and here is Habakkuk talking to his people about all of these things and says, God is on a throne. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You know what that means? Young people, I'm about to say a word that your parents would not let you say. But I'm a lot older than you, and we were allowed to say this. My mama said it to me all the time. Shut up. That's about what that verse says. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all of the earth zip your lips and listen to God. You know what's wrong in our religious world? Because we have all of the freedoms that we have, everybody is trying to say, well, let me tell you what I think about this. You know what the Bible says? If any man speak, you know 1 Peter 4:11? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Here's the oracles. Here's the oracles of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And the implication is, and if he's not going to speak as the oracles of God, let him shut up. Let him be silent. So you young men sometimes get a chance to preach. You get up there. We don't need your ideas. You open up the book. You young ladies have opportunity to teach our children and to speak to our ladies' class a lot of times. If you're going to speak, recognize the Lord is in His holy temple. let all the earth keep silence before him. And that's the message. That is the message that Habakkuk is trying to give to his people at that time. There's a phrase that is used in Habakkuk that is really important for us, and that's Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. I don't know of a verse more important than Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, and maybe all of the Old Testament. The just shall live by... Isn't that amazing? How was a man saved under the Old Testament? The Jewish nation thought they were saved because they kept the law perfectly. And this verse is quoted in Hebrews chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. You know this verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. That's faith, isn't it? Everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. Where does righteousness come from? And the rest of the book of Romans, he says, not by the law. You Pharisees said, we don't need faith. We'll just keep the Sabbath day and we'll keep all of the animal sacrifices. And we make sure that we keep all of, 613 commandments of the Old Testament. And we'll be saved. What about David? David violate any of the Ten Commandments? Oh, yeah. Situation with Bathsheba. Did he not violate at least six of the Ten Commandments in that one incident? How's he going to be saved? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The just shall live by faith. Manifestation of faith. Show me your faith without your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. What about Noah? Was he saved because he built an ark? Hebrews chapter 6 says, by faith Noah built an ark to the saving of his house. What was he saved by? By faith. Why? The just shall live by faith. Well, what if he hadn't built the ark? He would have drowned like everybody else, wouldn't he not? By faith. What about David? You read Psalms 51 and you'll see a man with a broken heart who has sin in his life, and he's crying out to God, and he said, Lord, if you wanted these animal sacrifices, I'd give them to you. But he says, you know what the sacrifices of God are? A broken heart and a contrite spirit. When you have faith and you've done wrong, what do? You call out to God and you turn your life over to God. You live by faith. And everybody that's ever been saved on this earth has been saved by faith. Though it was manifested under different laws, build an ark. Don't touch the Ark of the Covenant. Remember that story? Remember the Sabbath day and keeping the Sabbath day holy? Oh, yes. Remember all of those animal sacrifices? Remember all of those feast days? What they do? They threw away, and they're worshiping the idols, dumb idols that cannot speak. No faith. And we've got to understand this principle. This verse is in the Old Testament, and it says, the just shall live by faith. The word faith is only found three times in the Old Testament. That's amazing. Faith is found in the Old Testament in almost every page. But the word faith, and here's one of them, the just shall live by faith. And we've got to understand that. Well, let's get to Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the last of these. Jeremiah prophesied to who? Well, obviously to the southern kingdom. That's on the priest card. And Jeremiah is called, not the messianic prophet, but what's he called? The weeping. You were listening in the first part of this service, were you not? I used to hear that as a child, and I thought he was a wimp. You know, he's a little sissy that runs around. That's not what he is. Jeremiah stands up there. They throw him down into a well that has no water in it, but it has water. And his feet go down in the mire down in there. And had it not been for a godly man, he would have been left inside that pit. He speaks so strongly for God. What about your drinking out of broken cisterns? What about ask for the old paths and walk in then? Where is the good way? And you'll find life. And the people said, we won't do it. And Jeremiah just pleads with them and pleads with them, because the theme of the book of Jeremiah is the fall of Jerusalem and the fact you're going to head into Babylonian captivity. And over and over and over again, Jeremiah is right at the end, right before they head for Babylon. And he says, you'd better straighten up your life, because you're headed to Babylon because you're not straightening up your life. What does that say to us? What a message to America. If God turns into hell every nation that forgets him, what's the message American is? What do we need individually? I was in a very small high school, Christian school. I think there were 28 of us in the eighth grade, 28 of us. And by the time of graduation, two of my fellow students had died. That's amazing. You know anybody your age has died? Yeah. In all likelihood, you may not know a lot. But what an amazing thing. We think, I'm going to live forever. Oh, no. You're going to live forever if you have faith. The just shall live not by the laws, but he lives by faith. Now, if you don't keep the laws, you don't have faith. Show me your faith without your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. But you can serve God with an absence of faith, and as external as can be. Hebrews chapter 3 said that Israel did not attain to the righteousness of God, because their works were not mixed with faith. We have the Lord's Supper. Eat the bread, drink the cup. Where does faith come in? By faith, with the eyes of faith, I see him on the cross for my sins. We sang about it tonight, did we not? That was his blood that saves us. And I see that with faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And a key verse. I think it is interesting. What is it? How many times is that expression, says the Lord, found in the book of Jeremiah? 52 chapters. How many times says the Lord is found? 328 times. That's 6 times in every chapter on the average. You know what he's saying? Jeremiah said, I'm not some noted evangelist that's standing before Israel. I am a spokesman for God, and as a spokesman for God, you had better straighten up your life. Can you finish this last phrase? It is not in man that walks to do what? Direct his steps. Guys, we've got to learn this. And I would encourage you, and I understand that we've rushed through all of this, but I would encourage you to be that kind of an individual that sits down and reads. Guys, you can understand the book of Jeremiah. You know what the last chapters of the book of Jeremiah is? It's about Babylon. And he specifically mentions in the last chapters of the book of Jeremiah the walls of Babylon. You've heard us talk about Babylon, those walls that went 350 feet up in the air, could not get over the walls, could not dig under it because they went down to bedrock. And Jeremiah even mentions the gates that were going to be opened. Why? Well, that's the way the army came in that destroyed Babylon. The waters were dried up of the Euphrates River, and they walked up that riverbed, and Jeremiah graphically describes that. There's so much in Jeremiah. It shall come to pass in the last days, Jeremiah chapter 31, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers when I brought them out of this land of Egypt. This is my covenant they broke. What are you going to do? I'm going to write my laws on their hearts. And that's where faith comes in. You read the Bible and you believe it, and you believe every word of the Bible. Can you go to that last slide just so you'll see where we'll be headed? And that is, we have one more class on the Babylonian captivity and then the post-captivity. Next week, we're going to look at this other section there, because they go into Babylonian captivity. And so the prophets that are there are Ezekiel and Daniel. And after they come back, there are the three final, chronologically, three final books of the Old Testament. And that is those prophets that were there for God. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's what the screen is all about. The 17 books of prophecy. There are other prophets, obviously, in the Old Testament. You know, Enoch prophesied, and Abraham's the first man in the Bible called a prophet. God in times past spake unto the fathers by the prophets, but he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. There's that new covenant. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. That's the covenant they break. But I'm going to design Christianity so it's got to get in your heart. Here's one, young people. I hope you know this verse. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Young people, your mamas and daddies need to write that not on your hearts, on their hearts. What about young people? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, because I've taken your word and I've written it on my heart. Be a Bible student and understand this is what the Lord says. 328 times in one book, Jeremiah says, I'm not trying to be a popular evangelist. This is what God says. And parents, as you rear your children, and in all of our Bible classes, let's teach what God says. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Next Sunday night, we'll get to the prophets during the Babylonian captivity. It's going to be an interesting study whenever you're trying to cover Ezekiel and Daniel, because Ezekiel has so much symbolic heavy language in it. It'll be a great, great study. And David, I'm glad that you're the one that's teaching this next week, okay? I look forward to being able to hear what you've got to say. And Daniel's over there in Babylon. Remember that? So is Ezekiel. At least in visions, he's over there. Some visions, he's sometimes in Jerusalem. Sometimes he's over there in Babylon. That's it for tonight. Let's study the Bible. Let's change our lives. Thank you very much.